get some, get some.
Can I get a hell yeah?
Yes, I am a pirate.
You have to go with the pirates because, of course, they have cannons and everything.
It's a pirate's life for me.
Be proud of who you are and what you are. You pirate.
This is a first down.
Because when you're at East Carolina, you go for it every time. Well, you don't coach at East Carolina. You don't come to East Carolina. You don't play at East Carolina with a weak heart. Write it.
I think I've ever been in a building as loud as that was. It was deafening in there.
You've ever been to Omaha? I can promise you that.
You're watching The Sports Objective, the podcast for pirates.
All right, welcome into the Sunday night edition of TSO. And man, oh man, I tell you what, I'm praying, guys, that our season is better than the start of the show. Trying to get on the show. Let's bring in Kyle from the LaGrange Barber. What's up, man?
Yeah, 30-minute late start and a limited crew here tonight because we had a lot of technical issues. Anytime we had more than three people in the studio, there was constant echoes. It sounded like a scary ghost or the voice of God. Stevie and JR and Alan and Justin at some point may try to join us later in the show. But right now it's just the three of us, me, Dave, and the one and only legendary linebacker from the Steve Logan era of East Carolina University, Matt the Semenza.
Very nice introduction. I appreciate that. How you guys doing, man? Excited about tonight's show. You know, anytime the calendar turns to August, fellas, we're a week closer to the start of college football. And obviously camp started this week, so a lot to talk about. I'm feeling really good about the direction of this program. I like the personnel we have for this team. So starting to get fired up for Bama.
No doubt. I'll tell you what. Does this, with the start of the show, does that affect our win total? I think the win total is down to 6 right now. That's the way I'm feeling. We might make a bowl now. No, I'm kidding. Anyway, we're going to talk to StreamYard. That's who helps stream our show because apparently other people are telling us they had issues today too. So I put an email in just a couple minutes ago and maybe they'll get back with me. But anyway, as they say, the show must go on. Guys, I am just like you, Matt. I am fired up. Normally, it's kind of like the people have said in the past about me, like blind optimism. But I think that we have a lot to be optimistic about with this team. And have you guys heard any more? I've been doing the family thing today. Have you guys heard any more about what is the status of getting our guys back from the freshman class of 22? Are they going to get the fifth year?
Yeah, there's no update on that. The NCAA has asked the court to give them a ruling tomorrow. Now, whether they'll get that ruling or not, I don't know. But according to I go on his hoistofcolors.com, if you subscribe to his VIP area, which I would suggest everyone to do, he said that from multiple sources, all three guys will be back. Looking like, not 100%, but looking very likely, all three guys will be back if the NCAA does not win the appeal. So, that would be huge to get all three of those guys back, particularly on the defense side of the ball. I think we're pretty stacked at running back, although nothing against Marlon Gunn. I'd love to have him back too. But you get that kind of help, a defensive line linebacker. Maybe we'll know tomorrow. I would expect I believe class starts on the 17th. So we'll know this week. Matt, do you know anything more? I know you kind of keep up with it on X on the NCAA side a little more than I do.
I mean, the only thing I know, nothing really more to add to it than the NCAA is looking for an expedited appeal, which obviously makes sense. We need to get this decision as soon as possible, and they're going to need some help from the courts as always. But they need to get this done ASAP. I mean, look, you know, it does get to a point where the further you push this out closer to the season, you're now risking injury to these players because they need to get in shape. They need to get game ready again. So, and I don't think they're going to have any problems doing that if everything checks out here, but you got to get this thing done. And look, in this case, it's not the NCAA. It's all about these courts and their ability to expedite this process. And
well, in a way, it is about the NCAA, man. I don't mean to cut you off, but they appealed this. And 90% of the time in more recent years, I agree with the NCAA over the courts. This isn't a case where I do. To me, the NCAA doesn't gain anything by winning this appeal. It's been made clear that if you didn't enter the transfer portal in January, once the ruling about 12 noon tomorrow, that's correct, Justin. But the judge said if you didn't put in for the transfer portal in January, hoping you get that extra year, you can't transfer. There's not going to be no roster limit extensions to help these guys out. So there's really I don't know why the NCAA is bothering to appeal this. This is one I hope they don't win for obvious reasons, but they do want a ruling by the 10th at 12 noon. We'll see if they get it. I think if you don't get the ruling this week, I think you got to go ahead and start practicing the guys. A class starts on the 17th. You got to have people enrolled. So I think you're going to go ahead and have to make that move for JD Lampley, for Marlon Good, and for Marlon Gunn, JD Lampley, and help me out, guy. Yeah, Danka, thank you. So, some dudes we do know that is very good. There was a couple guys suspended. It was kind of kept quiet a little bit. But again, according to Steve and I go over in the VIP area, again, go subscribe to hoistcolors.com. I'm getting out free VIP info, so I'm promoting his site. He said that Horsley and that I'm having a brain fart, guys.
DuJour
and Horsley are both back from suspension. They are both at practice this week as of Saturday. So that's good. Horsley and DuJour are both back, and those are two guys that are going to be big contributors. I mean, DuJour's had multiple issues. He's a kid that, unbelievable pass rusher, got a lot of upside. Hopefully he can keep his nose clean and have a big season and, no more issues, man. Horsley, we believe in you. DuJour, we believe in you. We all support you. You guys just stay out of trouble and go bust some ass on the football field.
Yeah, and I'll take a little more firm. Like, for those guys, like, especially like DuJour, he's even older. Like, listen, it's time now. You got to stop the nonsense. You need to earn your scholarship.
NIL, too.
NIL, look, he's not 17, 18 anymore. Enough is enough. Like, he's a talented kid. It's time to grow up, earn that money, earn that scholarship, and get to work. And look, you can never have enough pass rushers. When you talk about getting DuJour back along with JD Lampley, you're talking about, two guys on the D line that are twitchy, can bend a little bit and get to the quarterback and get pressure. So we need them back.
Hey, yeah, Matt. what we have, if you can keep DuJour and Horsley out of trouble, and you can get Lampley and Danka back, I mean, good God, our defense would be stacked at that point. I think this defense with all those guys, plus the guys that we know we have, that we know you can rely on, this could be a top 25 defense easily.
No doubt.
A lot of potential.
I had a question for Matt, and maybe Kyle, you can help me too. But Matt, you being a former player, my concern is definitely the good news is that these guys know the schemes on offense and defense, so we don't have to worry about that. As far as physical shape, how much time do these guys need? Like 2 or 3 weeks? I mean, it feels like we're getting to crunch time for them to be ready for Alabama.
Well, Lampley, did pro day. He was trying to get picked up by somebody, and he was in great shape at that point. I don't know. Gunn, I'm sure, being a run back, he's probably a guy who stays in shape. And then, I wouldn't think from, doing your pro day stuff back in the spring until now you would have gotten that out of shape. Matt, you would know better than I, being a former linebacker. I would think all these guys would be in pretty good football shape. They just need to get out there on the practice field.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think these guys are going to be in pretty good shape. there's no reason why, like, if they were able to start practicing this week, they should be completely fine and ready to go for week one. No problems at all. I mean, I would work them in a little bit slowly over the course of the first week just to make sure that their conditioning is okay. But I don't anticipate any problems there. Like you said, they had pro day recently, and, you know, they just played their last game not even, what, you know, 6 months ago. So I think these guys will be good to go.
Yeah, and not only that, you know, they're guys you didn't expect to have. So if they're not 100% ready to start, just work them in back into the rotation. You're lucky to have them.
Correct. Johnny, what's up, JR? We love you, brother. If we want to hang with Alabama, we'll need a big player too, and DeJure is a big play kind of guy.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you got two quarterbacks there at Alabama, kind of like we do. They could be playing too. They don't know who their quarterback's going to be. If you get DeJure coming in on the pass rush, you could create some havoc. You know, I really don't see a scenario realistically where we can win this game, but I do see a scenario that if we have a loaded defense, we could create some havoc, create some turnovers, and make this thing look really, really interesting and good on the scoreboard. You know, if you go hold Alabama to less than 31, you know, unless you lose 28-0, if you go Alabama less than 31, you feel like it's a good day at the office on defense.
No doubt. And A-Win, what's up? A-Win says, so NCAA wants quick no instead of long, maybe yes. I think they appealed for the sake of it. They are okay losing.
You could be right, yeah, because rushing an appeal only benefits – I guess maybe in a way, though, they don't want to put schools in a situation where they have players playing the first 2 weeks of the year and then they can't play anymore. So that could also be a reason why the NCAA is rushing it. So I don't know. I hope they lose this appeal. This is one appeal I hope they lose.
And not only that, but, Matt, when as a player – I know it's hard to say because, but if you were in the situation where you could get an extra year of eligibility, you're going to be like, yes, let's go. And the, like Tom Petty has a song, the waiting is the hardest part. I just can't imagine what's going through these guys' minds. It's just ridiculous. Like, let them go ahead and play the year. It's one class, everybody else. I think that the courts are trying to be fair to this group because I know it may not be fair to the Semenzas of the world, but these guys get one more year, and you're not talking about 50 or 60 players on our team. It's just a handful.
Massive is fair to him if Lampley gets to play another year. He says that's completely fair to him.
Yeah, look, I'm hoping it works out in this case because, you know, in particular, Lampley's skill set, it's something we need defensively. And, you know, you look at Kenny's point there, Alabama's going to be starting a freshman at left tackle. Well, hey – the more twitchy pass rushers that they have is a good thing.
He's 6'7", 320.
Oh, yeah.
But to Kenny's point, hey, to Kenny's point, look, you know, no matter how good you are, whether you're a 4-star, 5-star, you still need experience at the collegiate level. And, you know, he's going to be learning on a job a little bit. So we should get after him.
That's what I was going to ask you, Matt. And I know we're not anywhere close. It's close, but yet so far away as far as the first game. When you have that quarterback, that young quarterback, and you're a defensive guy, I've been wanting to ask you this for a couple weeks. Like, you're Blake, and you, like, know that those guys can dial up all the different schemes and everything. What would you – if you were – not to give anything away, obviously, but my point is, how do you beat Alabama as far as, like, causing havoc for their offense?
Well, you need to look at their quarterback and you need to figure out where he's comfortable and where he's not comfortable, right? And, you know, for a lot of defenses, some of the things you can do that are really, you know, in your control, a lot of pre-snap movement. So you show certain looks, you know, maybe you show cover two on the back end and then you shift, you know, you move into more of a cover three look. You know, a lot of pre-snap movement with your outside linebackers showing pressure, backing out, and then vice versa. There's a lot you can do to confuse a quarterback. And, you know, the one thing when you look at Blake Harrell's defense is very multiple. He's bringing pressure from all angles. It's going to be confusing even for a veteran quarterback. But in this case, you know, if you have somebody who hasn't seen it before, there's a lot you can do, especially early in the game, to confuse the quarterback. So I expect to see a lot of that stuff. And, look, I am really confident in what we're going to put out there defensively. Certainly not going to be easy for Alabama to move up and down the field.
No, and it's funny that, you know, with the fifth year rule, and, you know, looking at those guys coming back, and then with the news, you know, that some people didn't even know about, was kept quiet unless you VIP member on Hoist the Colors. DeJour and, you know, Horsley being back, those are the two big topics of conversation. We haven't even mentioned the quarterback battle yet, and it's week one of camp, and there's really no update on it. You know, Blake indicated in his press conference day one that a good chance we're going to see both against Alabama, that he's a big believer in, you may not know what you truly have at quarterback until you see him getting, you know, bullets flying their way. So you may see both guys against Alabama. And Matt, I know a lot of people don't like that. They're like, if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have one. I think in this case, you know, it's a situation where from the outside looking in, I think where Mitch Griffiths, I think, started a lot more games. I think he's familiar with the system. I think they're comfortable with him. But I think they see a bigger upside in,
Emory Williams.
Emory Williams, thank you. They see a bigger upside on him, a big, strong kid. Got all the size, got all the pro potential in the world. He's healthy now truly healthy from what I understand for the first time since his freshman year at Miami where he started some games. So I think it could be a situation where, and again, this is from the outside looking in, I'm not in practice, where they think Emory's probably the long-term answer, but they're probably going to maybe let Mitch start and then bring Emory in off the bench. Is that kind of what you're feeling too from hearing Blake's comments, or did you hear Blake's comments, or I don't know, what do you think of the two playing two quarterbacks at Bama?
I mean, I think probably what you're going to see is this, and this is just my opinion. I think you're going to see Emory Williams start the season, but I do think you're going to see Griffiths a lot. I mean, he brings one of the things Mitch Griffiths brings to the game is his ability to run and improvise. And you saw how important that was to our offense. You know, think back to the bowl game 2 years ago with Caden Hauser. We called a ton of design running plays for him in that game that really opened things up offensively, especially in the first half. So the ability to run the ball with your quarterback and be able to improvise, scramble out of the pocket and make plays is huge. So, you know, I do think you're going to see both of them. And I really have no problem with that in week one. Like, my big thing is run your offense. Don't tweak things just because you're playing Alabama. We need to be focused on getting prepared for week two and week three. So run your offense. And look, if one of the quarterbacks isn't getting it done or if things are stalling out, I wouldn't be afraid to go to QB2. And until you find the right mix, the right system, the right guy for this offense. But the big thing is just run your stuff. Don't tweak it just because it's week one and because it's Alabama.
I agree with you. I think, and that's what, you know, as I've said it, nauseam, people have heard it. That's why I hate playing Alabama week one, because you're so right. You got to get ready for App and ODU. And, you know, you could throw some gimmick stuff in at Bama just to try to score. But you really need to see what you have on offense. I guess the only advantage of hiding a lot of your true offense would be to surprise the app with it. But you got to make sure you can execute it. But I tend to agree with you, Matt. Be who you are. Do what you do. Control the controllables. One of the big things, I've said it before, I'll be looking at for this offense against Alabama is, again, so much screen game. How well can we block, particularly against Alabama? If you can block against Bama and set up some screens, you can block against anybody.
No doubt. No doubt. They're going to have a physical secondary. They can tackle well in space. So we got to get after them. And, you know, look, I think one of the things that, and we've talked about this a lot, but when you look at, I just mentioned what Kenny said there, their whole line is new, and that's the big worry for the Bama podcast world. So, yeah, absolutely. Plan on playing both and name a starter going to. Yeah, I think that makes perfect sense. Work things out in week one.
John White says, Matt, explain in shape and game shape, big difference.
Well, it's a great question. And there is a big difference, because when the bright lights come on and it's game day, you're excited, you know, you're fired up. Things just hit different, right? That the game is faster, much faster than it is in practice. So, you know, there is a difference, you know, in terms of conditioning. But, you know, I think that these guys, especially these veteran guys like Marlon Gunn and Danka and Lampley, they've been there so many times. they know how to get in shape and be in condition. So I don't anticipate any problems. But there is definitely a difference between being game ready versus just being able to show up and practice. Yep.
I would think all three of those guys, you know, have been trying to get on with somebody playing pro ball. You know, be it, you know, obviously they didn't sign with any NFL teams, but who knows if there have been conversations with CFL teams, UFL teams, you know, all three of those guys are guys that can play at those levels. So I would hope all three of them have stayed in playing shape.
By the way, I got a quick, very, very, very quick sidebar question. UFL, would you be in favor of having a team in Raleigh?
Yeah, absolutely. I would be. I mean, we don't really need to harp on that too much, but I just mentioned the UFL, so I understand why you asked the question. Yeah, there's nowhere really they can play right now except maybe in Cary at their little 10,000-seat soccer stadium. They're ideally looking for 15,000-seat stadiums. I know there's talk of building a new soccer stadium downtown. But yeah, I'd be in favor of a UFL team in Raleigh. I'd support it. Doesn't care either way.
I think it's a great area, man. I think it would be awesome if they can get it done.
What about Hartford? How would Hartford support you? It's a UFL team in the spring.
You know what? Hartford, I'll tell you, it's interesting, man. Like, so we used to have the Whalers back in the day for hockey.
Okay.
And people, I can't tell you what a cult following there still is for the Hartford Whalers here. UConn, so originally, not to get too far off subject here, but where UConn plays at Rentschler Field in East Hartford, right outside of the city of Hartford. When they built that stadium, the original plan was for the New England Patriots. That was going to be their home field. They actually built that for the Patriots.
Oh, wow.
Things fell through sort of, you know, last minute. The Patriots wound up in Foxborough, and right. Then Rentschler Field became UConn's home stadium. So my point is, long-winded answer, but there's definitely a want here in Connecticut for some type of a pro sports team. And, you know, not the biggest market in the world, but I think it could work.
Yeah,
no doubt. And that's the thing, Matt, and we'll get, we got a question from Robert, comment from Robert I'll get to in a second, but the UFL, I think they've been smart, but I think also they need to expand because that'll bring in more revenue, more fans. I think they're in the Northeast, like you said, will definitely do that. All right, let's get back to, that was just a quick thing there I heard this week, so love to have that in Raleigh. We had the Raleigh-Durham Skyhawks. Remember the WFL with the quarterback helmet cam? It was like a lipstick camera that was pretty cool. All right, and Raleigh-Durham had a team. Let's see. Robert Dedrick, rumors quarterback Keelan Russell getting the start over Mac. Yeah, Keelan Russell is definitely who I'm predicting because he's more athletic, young, but he's speaking of upside, I think Keelan Russell is the guy that can definitely take Bama, not only this year, but he has, what, 3 more years, I think? I think he has 3
is
years.
Has he played any? I mean, I don't know anything about Keelan Russell.
Not at Alabama for sure, and that's one of the things they've been worried about. I know you guys don't like
him. He's
unproven.
No, he's out of high school from there. He didn't transfer there, Matt, correct?
I believe Mac played in the bowl game against Indiana, which was out in the Rose Bowl, and definitely athletic. He can definitely use his feet. He can improvise. A little unproven in the passing game to me from what I've seen.
Yeah, so quarterback. Yeah, we could give him some trouble with our defense. Particularly, you know, if the two guys who just got back keep their nose out of trouble and then we are able to get the guys back for fifth year, your defense would be pretty stacked. And you get two unproven quarterbacks, young guys, we could give them some trouble for sure.
I'm predicting right now, hot take, I don't have a crystal ball, but with our defense, I think we're going to get a pick six. I'm not saying we'll win the game, but I do think we're going to get a pick six.
I have no idea. I mean, I'm not going to predict anything like that. I mean, that's –
Hey, Matt, are you in the doghouse? You got Carmelo there behind you? LOL.
This is how he sits, man. He's right behind me at all times. So he's chilling. He's chilling back there. So, yeah.
Yeah, so that, for me personally, I'm really, I'm thinking that the defense keeps it close, and then it comes down to like what we talked about, Kyle, adding to what you talked about the last month or so. How fast will this offense click? But also, Alabama is a very good football team. But the good news is I really believe that we'll play well against Bama.
Well, what I like about not only for the Alabama game, you know, honestly, and I still hate the game, but what I like for the rest of the season is, you know, both Harrell and Igo, who I trust his opinion a lot. I've referenced Igo a lot. I, for any VIP information we've given out on the show, I think I've made up for it by promoting Hoist the Colors. Igo and Blake, you know, and Igo sees a lot of practice, both think our offensive and defensive lines both look really good. And that's where you win. I do think on the offensive line in particular, you got to stay healthy. But I do like our starting offensive line a lot, actually. You know, you got three guys from the portal who played a lot of ball. You got, you know, you have some experience back from, you know, you got a guy who was projected to be a starter last year that got injured before fall practice who's back, you know. So I think our offensive line and defensive line both have the potential to be pretty damn good. And, you know, anytime you have, particularly on the offensive side of the ball, unproven, you know, new offense, unproven quarterbacks, guys that have to come together as a team, having a good offensive line is a really good place to start.
You know, Matt, you have we've known each other for like I think 5 or 6 years, something like that. One of the things you've taught me is you always hear about you can win games in the trenches, the offensive defensive line, but one of the things that I've noticed is you've really even though you're a defensive guy, you've really focused, uber focused on that offensive line. You're like, I think our offensive line, not only our football expert, but certainly on the offensive line, to me, in my opinion, as long as I've known you, I think this is the best offensive line we've had in the probably the history of the show.
I don't know about that. We haven't seen them play together, but Matt, go ahead.
I know, but
I think it could shape up to be that way. I mean, the thing is with this O-line, you brought in proven starters at the FCS level, right?
No, I mean, no. Two at the FBS level. One of those guys started at Southern Miss. One of them started at Kennesaw State. Both FBS.
I meant to say FBS. My bad. At the FBS, exactly. At the FBS level. So you have proven guys with experience who have played at this level before. They're not going to be, you know, scared of the moment. So I do think as the season goes on and things progress, this does have a chance to be a great O-line. The big thing I'm looking for right now, and Kyle mentioned it, we need to get out of camp healthy. Yep. Can't sustain any injuries, especially on the O-line. You know, if you look around this team, there appears to be lots of depth. At least it looks that way on paper. In certain positions, you can take an injury or two. But to the O-line, that would be very difficult, especially if it happened at one of the tackle positions.
Exactly.
Because we're a little thinner there. But, I like the way this thing's shaping up. And you know, you look at Best, the transfer from Kennesaw. He brings a lot of flexibility up front because he can play either guard position. Right now, he's slotted in at the center position. I guess that's where they feel like he's going to have the most success and have a chance to take his career to the next level. But he gives you versatility there. You know, so I think the one of the things I'm really looking for, and speaking of like Igo, I know he mentioned it in his VIP, but or one of his posts, but like Carson Jones is one of those guys that
injured last year.
He was injured. If we can get him back playing at a high level, that's going to be huge for this O-line. And hopefully that's the case.
Yeah. And that's what I mean. I think this offensive line can be good, but while reason I'm not going to say it's the best we've had the last 6-7 years is because of the depth issues. But I think the starting five, if they can stay healthy, can be really good.
And no doubt. And with the with this team, like I said, guys, one of the questions I wanted to ask you all week, I have sort of in the group chat, do you guys think with the guys that we're getting back, with that leadership that they have, with that experience they have at the level they played in the past, I know that they obviously may not be healthy themselves. Who knows, right? I'm not saying – they may not be in the best shape. Who knows? There's a lot of question marks.
You're talking about the fifth-year guys we may get back.
Yes. Yes, so we may get back. Do you think that it adds any wins to the win total? Does that help us? Because what my point is that I feel like outside of Alabama, these games are going to be.
I don't really know that it adds wins, Dave. I think what it does, well, potentially it adds wins. I think really what it does early in the year on the defensive side of the ball, particularly, it gives us more pieces to play with and more depth. That if the offense is struggling early, you can win some games by keeping them low scoring. So it could give you another win or two. You know, let's use App State in week two. Let's say we can't get anything going on offense in week one, and we're still learning it, and you have those extra pieces on defense, and you have to win a 21-17 type ball game because the offense is still struggling. So it could potentially give you another win or two. Also, from an injury standpoint, if you get somebody injured, the more guys you have, more depth pieces. So I don't know. I won't say 100% that it adds a win, but I think it just makes you a lot more comfortable.
Yeah, and it certainly could. Like you said, Kyle, we just don't know yet. But I mean, Lampley's the type of guy that could easily come up with a big play, maybe a strip sack, you know, some sort of pressure behind the line of scrimmage, get the quarterback off his mark and make a play. I mean, he's definitely brings that ability to do that. So, look, it's definitely a benefit to have those guys. If you look at this defense historically, especially you look at what Roy Tesh does with his D-line, he's all about rotations, and he rotates a ton of guys. So the more you have there, the better off you are. And, you know, look, if we can rotate 6, 7, 8 guys up front that can all make plays, you're going to be in a really good spot.
I got said on Hoist Colors, he feels as good about this defensive line of him in practice as any he has in a while. And we had a pretty damn good one last year, and that's without Lampley. So, you know, and by the way, I don't want to – we're harping so much on Lampley and Danka and Gunn. You don't want to offend the boys that are out there busting their ass now practicing because, you know, those are the guys we know we have and we know we got to win with. So no disrespect to those guys by making so much of this conversation about who we may have.
No, we were already excited, and this is kind of like the icing on the cake, so to speak. Robert Dedrick says the right tackle and left guard are up for grabs at Alabama. They believe they have their starting right tackle, center, and right guard, but all spots still competing except for right guard.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, and they got a lot of talent there. It's not like they got scrubs, you know, competing for those positions. But it does mean that it means two things. One, they have some depth because they have competition. So that's good for them. But two, it means it's not solidified. So they're going to have an offensive line that's trying to come together also. So, it's to our advantage. But again, they're talented. I would find it hard to believe that there's not an offensive line in the Alabama 2 deep that wouldn't be starting here, and that's no disrespect to our starters.
No, and that's true, but at the same time, I'll tell you what, guys, I tell you what, with Alabama, they can say what all they want to say, all the nice, right things, but I think there's, especially the fans are the worst. The fans are not giving us any credit, and I love that. Matt, by the way, I was thinking about you a week or two ago about your group of having a chip on the shoulder, having a lot to prove. Do you think this is a group of guys now that we've had a good sample size of Blake Harrell's career now as head coach, that, you know, these guys, I think it's great the fact that they're not giving us any credit, or they're acting like they were a cupcake when we're totally not a cupcake.
Oh, absolutely, man. Like, tell a grown man what he can't do. Tell a grown man that you're going to whip his ass on the football field and you're going to get the best out of him. And I get fired up just thinking about it. Like, I always will give you guys and go back to the example of when we played in the Orange Bowl against Miami in 96. All week, nobody in the world gave us a chance. Little old East Carolina, there's no way they can go down to the Orange Bowl.
Well, y'all just played like complete shit against Southern Miss. So.
Exactly. That added to it. And that added to it for sure. And look, you know, Vegas had us, you know, I don't even remember what the spread was, but I'll always go back to the example because all week long you told us what we couldn't do. And there were a group of guys who were motivated and ready to play football. And you know, there's probably a good thing that game ended and we kind of took our foot off the gas early in the fourth quarter. But, Yeah. Tell a grown man what he can't do on a football field. You're going to get the best out of him. So look, people can write us off as much as they want. The only thing that matters is how you play on that day and the preparation. So, I expect a good performance. Look, I know it's Alabama. Look, I have a lot of respect for that program. Like Kyle said, you're talking about 4- and 5-star galore players. I mean, players that anybody would want in their program. So it's not a lot of respect for that program. But look, we're going to to play a football game.
Absolutely. Yeah, and Robert Dietrich, put Robert Dietrich's comment up there, please, and then come back to that one. Yeah, and that is a good point, Robert. That there's competition, that means they're splitting reps. You know, and the more they split reps, you know, less true preparation time they have for the Pirates, the less they're getting ready. So, particularly on the O line. So I get your point. But what was the other comment, Dave?
Kenny says, with these two quarterbacks on the roster, I'll be shocked if this offense starts off slow this season. Now, Alabama will be a hard one to judge, but after that, it's full speed ahead. Perfectly said, Kenny. We obviously feel like that. I believe that our guys are going to compete more than what people think in Alabama. And like I said, told you guys, I would much rather be the Matt Semenza era of the 90s Pirates when nobody – you know, like you were saying with that Orange Bowl game, Matt, Arnie Spanier on 101 Sports was one of the only talking heads. He may have been the only one that said, you're going to go down there and you beat Miami. Not only did you beat Miami, it wasn't like an upset. Like, it was 31-6. And yeah. I don't remember many scores, but that one really sticks out in my mind because – it was not only the – it wasn't like a last-second field goal. Hell, I'll take that, right, where you win by a few points. It was an ass-kicking.
No doubt about it. And, like, you know, so those things do happen. And I'm not saying it's going to happen week one, but I'm just saying that, like, you know, we should have a very motivated, hungry team. And I hope people count us out. I really do.
Do we think it may the same result probably, but I would expect that we'll play better. Defense didn't play bad that day, I would expect that the offense will hopefully play better than they did at Michigan. The key is I don't think the season is going to go like it did in 23. That's the bigger thing. Not so much, you know, if we lose to Alabama 30-3. I'll be a little worried about the offense, but I don't expect we're going to go 2-12 or 2-10.
Yeah, I think if we could just throw that comment back up, I mean, I see a much cleaner performance offensively. When you look back to that Michigan game, we were in a tough spot with the quarterback situation.
You know, shit.
We were not a good looking offense.
And that was the national champion, Matt.
That was a national champion. That was a great team. And, look, we just couldn't move the ball at all. I think we have a better scheme in place right now. Definitely have better quarterbacks. I think we have, you know, more talent from top to bottom offensively. Now, that was a good defensive team that year we have. But, you know, look, I think we're much further along. And I think what this scheme offers, this North Texas type of scheme, is it allows you to get the ball out quickly, right? So – you know, when you can get the ball out quickly and really work the screen game, the wide receiver screens, the smoke screens, the tunnel screens, that's the best way to negate a powerful D-line, a powerful pass rush. You get the ball out quick. You get the ball to your talented playmakers in space and let them go. And I think that's one thing that this offense really allows you to do versus more of, like, you think where we were the last few years. It was more of the vertical passing game with Anthony Smith and not as much, you know, heavy on the screen game. So I think that's going to help us a lot here. Again, I'm not saying, you know, predicting a win, but I think it's going to be a lot cleaner, better operation than we saw at Michigan a few years ago.
Yeah, I think so too. And you know, Flynn did his best. Flynn was a good backup quarterback. Mason Garcia was not a Division I quarterback, and mm-hmm. all the physical ability in the world. We didn't have a division, and Flynn truly wasn't an FBS, not a starting quarterback.
Right.
Good FCS quarterback, good backup, But so you walked into the national championship of Michigan without a true FBS quarterback. We got two guys here that we know both are true FBS quarterbacks that have done it and done it at a high level. And so just from that standpoint, we should be in better shape. Now, will the score end up being the same? Who knows? But in terms from a competitive standpoint, we should be more competitive than we were against Michigan.
No doubt. Matt, it was 30 years ago for the Orange Bowl victory there for you.
Come on, man. You're making me feel old. You're making me feel old.
Me too.
By the way,
it's hard to believe.
It is really hard to believe. I tell you what, I think that this game is going to be a lot closer than Alabama fans realize. And my prediction is they pull away in the fourth quarter. That's what I think they'll get. I think they win by like 21, three scores is what I'm thinking. I think that I'm not a betting guy, but I say take the points all day long. And Matt, you have more experience than that, but I have that feeling with the defense is what's keeping me more optimistic about being a closer game. And I'm not one of these moral victory kind of guys, but it is at Alabama. But I do think that I do agree with you guys. I think we have more talent across the board. And the other thing, too, is one thing I want to ask you guys, Matt, how much difference does it make knowing that you have Blake Harrell and these guys will run through – I hate to use that term, but it's so true. They'll run through a brick wall for the coach where we had Houston, and I don't know how many guys at that point, especially a few games into the 23 season, would run through a brick wall for Houston.
Yeah, well, I think we have a culture now in place. We have a much better culture in place. And, like, you heard Blake talk about it in his presser a few weeks back at American Conference Media Days, where he talked a lot about how, you know, he wants players to play loose. He wants players to play freely, be able to go out and execute on Saturdays without overthinking. Like, that was one thing I always saw from – not always, but a lot of times with Mike Houston teams where, like – we look tight a lot. And I think sometimes if you coach tight, you're going to have players play tight on the field. And I had coaches, even at ECU, who, man, did they coach tight. And then I had other ones who would coach a little looser. And that has a huge effect on how you play. But I think we have a much better culture in place now. And all that stuff helps for sure. It absolutely helps on game day.
Robert says, Bama is feeling disrespected, emphasizing physicality and competitive nature all off season into camp. They've gained weight across the team and two guys clock out at 23 miles per hour. This is not last year's Tide.
No, they're going to be, look, that's why I hate playing them game one. Cause you know, somebody says it's going to be like Michigan. Well, it could be, and we still will be a better football team. That's what I say. You really don't know what you got potentially going into that app game after this one. But, you know, it is what it is. The game has to be played. So
Brandon says, I can't wait to hear what the College Game Day guys will say about the game that Saturday morning. They probably say, oh, Alabama playing little old East Carolina, and they have no chance, or Eastern Carolina. But anyway, that I hope they do. I hope they talk all kinds of smack. I hope that they give East Carolina no chance so that when the guys get on the field and you roll that ball out there and our guys, I'm telling you, are not as bad as people think. And I'll say this, there's that term, there's a difference between good versus great. Our guys are good and you could probably argue that their guys are great. But Matt, you can attest to the fact that it doesn't matter when you have the 2 stars, 4 stars, 5 stars, that doesn't matter when you get on the gridiron, right?
Well, you know, it certainly helps to have those 4 and 5 stars. Yeah. But look, but with scheme and with good coaching, you can overcome certain things on the field. And that's why, like I was mentioning before, one thing I really like about this scheme that I think helps us is the ability to get the ball out quickly to players in space. So you try to do things that can offset that talent advantage. We all know Alabama has, you know, much higher rate of recruits. They have – look, they're like a professional farm organization. You know, I mean, great talent, great players. You have to try to do things to make them uncomfortable and get them out of their game plan.
Yeah. And, you know, one thing that I think could be something that we could use as an advantage is I think we're going to play a lot of receivers this year, even though, you know, it's a brand new receiving core. We have a lot of depth there. And you go fast. And I know when you sub receivers, it also gives that defense a chance to sub. But I love the idea of playing a lot of receivers against Bama, rotating guys in and out, staying fresh. You know, I would imagine, you know, Bama's going to be deep, but Bama's probably, you know, I don't know what their subbing philosophy will be against this kind of offense. So if you can, you know, bring in waves of receivers, almost like a hockey line sub, you just bring in, you know, 4 or 5 different receivers at the time on and off the field, I think that could be an advantage in this game.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. And that was one of the questions I had for you, Matt. I agree with the wide receivers, but also I know that, like, you want to try – I know we've talked about getting guys lathered up at the running back position, so I'm not trying to say I normally would agree with this, but how do you feel about trying to – where I'm coming with this is the running back room. You don't want to get guys injured for the rest of the season. Do you shuffle in a lot more guys than you normally would, or are you just staying to 2 or 3 guys on the running back?
In particular, running back, I like to keep it to, like, usually 2. That's just my own personal philosophy. Maybe 3 occasionally, but, like, I like to keep it to 2 guys. And because I do think at the running back position, it's a little different than other spots where, like, you got to get lathered up. You need to be able to read the defense, see things opening up. So I think it's a little different there. But I think in terms of the running game, like, you almost want to set up the run through the pass. Like, really stretch the field horizontally, sort of get them out of their, you know, their rhythm where they can just get after the quarterback and then try to crease them in the running game occasionally when you can, but try to open up the field a little bit vertically and horizontally. And I think that's really, like, going to give you your best chance to find some openings in the run game, because let's face it, their front 7 is going to be nasty.
No doubt. Matt Redmond, by the way, Matt says EC will go out there and match up. The attrition is the problem. They ain't that much better, but they are way deeper. A-Win says, any given Saturday, Bama wins 90% of the time against East Carolina, but ...
And yeah, then, go ahead.
Robert says, I do think Bama will plan on keeping it simple, committing to the run, and subbing a lot of players. That's the thing with Russell, is being the young kid. You obviously don't want to show everything because you've got the SEC coming.
Yeah, but at the same time, you gotta, with a new quarterback, you gotta get him ready for the next two weeks, Kentucky and Florida State, I believe.
Yeah.
So you can't baby him. So they're gonna have to go out there and sling the ball because they got to get ready for those next two games. So yeah, I expect it to be run heavy, but probably not as run heavy as you might think. Because if you don't want to step into SEC play with a quarterback that hasn't been tested. So I think they're going to rely on their O-line, and I would expect them to pass the ball probably more than you think, because, like I say, it's – and credit them, you know, Kentucky, yeah, well, it's a conference game, but I believe Florida State's the 3rd game. Is that right?
Yes.
So they don't have time to – just like we don't, you know. We got App and Old Dominion after that, 2 very tough games. And we can't not, as Matt alluded to, we cannot go out there and not run what we run. So,
right, and that's the one thing, too, is that you don't want to – my thing is you don't want to go there and try to do something that you're not just because it's Alabama. I think you have to – I think you said that earlier, Matt, and maybe Kyle – you've got to go with who you are, and if you don't, then it could be ugly early. By the way, Brandon says the point spread is 28.5 to 29. I haven't
looked at the spread. I'm going to go check that now.
I'm telling you guys.
Wow, it's gone up then, because I think originally it opened. I think when it opened, it was 26, right? 25 and a half.
Yeah, something like that. And I'm telling you guys, take the points. I just don't see them covering. And especially with the, you know, you say, well, you're a homer for East Carolina. I'm saying with they have an experience also. It's the first game of the year. Matt, you know how you have those, like, jitters or, like, you know, you maybe there's more penalties like false starts or different things that can happen that normally may not happen if we have them game 4 or 5. So I'm not saying that we're going to win the game, but I do believe that, to me, the point spread is very disrespectful. I think there's a lot of people. Matt, do you think with the, I know that Vegas is very smart. I get it. But at the same time, do you think that they are relying on the fact that we have had some turnover, maybe a lot of our starters, or we don't have the quarterback situation nailed down? Is that why the point spread is so high?
I think mostly, I mean, I think that's probably some of it. Like, a lot of people just don't follow East Carolina as closely as they do, you know, the big SEC programs like Bama. But I think most of it's just really just the respect that people have for Alabama's program around the country, knowing that, you know, they struggled last year more than they wanted to. And you expect them to bounce back and have a great year. Because that's just like what's in the DNA of that program. They're not going to stay down very long. Like, here, look, I'm talking about them not having a great year. They were in the Rose Bowl last year, right, against Indiana. So, what was that? Was that the first round? I'm trying to remember. Was that the Rose Bowl? They played in Pasadena. Was that the second round of the playoff? I want to say, I can't even remember.
It was very early, first or second round. Yeah, it was very early. And the thing is, for us, we're not being disrespectful to Alabama. Alabama fans expect a national championship every year. And I get it, because it's a totally different situation than what we have. However, having said that, one of the things...
Yeah, FanDuel has it at 28.5. That's interesting. I might take it at that. I might take the points at that.
I'm looking at a low 20s kind of game. I'm not saying that we're going to make it, you know, it's going to be a tight game, but I just don't, the point spread going up, it just, for me, and Matt, you have the experience, I don't, so I'm going to yield that to you. But for me, I'm looking at it like a 21-point game, maybe, you know, a little bit higher than that, but not 28.5, 29. And if they do, they do. I don't see that. I think it's being disrespectful, especially. Another thing is, you're a defensive guy. Our defense is way better than they're giving us.
Well, let's look at it from their standpoint, or from the average person's standpoint. Is you got a Bama team, again, that Matt just made the point, everybody acts like they were so down last year and they made the playoffs. And they feel like, you know, their fan base is down on them and they still made the playoffs. So they're going to be fired up and motivated. We've done things on social media to irritate them. At least one or two players did. They look and they see, they meaning the betting public, they see we got a brand new offense. We only have 3 starters returning. They don't know anything about our defense and all the guys we rotate in and out, and that's an extremely experienced defense. But they do know that we got a brand new offense. So it doesn't surprise me that it's gone up. I might take the points now, East Carolina and the points, because, you know, 28.5, I could easily see us, you know, if you lose by 28, then you cover the spread. So this may be the point where I would take the points, but I think it's disrespectful. I think when you look at who Alabama is and you look at, we have a brand new offense. I mean, look, 31-3, they don't cover, they win by 28, but we've had a horrible performance on offense, but our defense played well. So,
you know, just to jump in on that point really quick, Kyle, like, one of the things I really want to see happen in college football, and I'm hearing it's going to happen, but I'd like to see one preseason scrimmage against another opponent other than the intra-squad scrimmage. I think that would be really good to help in your preparation.
That's coming, Matt. That's coming.
It's coming, from what I understand. Like,
FCS schools are going to be allowed to do that against FBS opponents, or anybody for that matter. They could do it against a Division III school, but they're going to be able to start doing that starting next year. So,
That's a great change.
Help out the team, but also it would help our revenue if we could have a game.
That's not coming yet. Is it going to be private scrimmages?
Oh, but, man.
Next year, you know, theoretically in August or July or whenever, we could be scrimmaging against, you know, Campbell.
And that would be great, because, like, what happens is, in practice every day, you learn your own offense's scheme so well, because you see it every day. So, like, if you could see another type of offense in the preseason, it would be a great thing for your program. So I hope they make that happen. I think it'd be really good. But
that's already passed, Matt. That's happening.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
But, you know, will we do it? I hope we're one of the teams that do it. We have a lot. We have North Carolina, Virginia, South Carolina, Maryland. There's a ton of FCS teams. There should be no reason we can't find one to scrimmage against next year.
Man, I tell you what, if you have one where people can see the game, can you imagine that, the springtime, the weather?
Yeah, that would be great. That's not happening yet, though, Dave.
I know.
Yeah, that's not happening yet.
But I'm just saying, that's where I'm hoping that that's what it'll lead to, where it's another revenue stream where people aren't going to come to see the spring game anymore. And that's no disrespect.
The spring game may be going away. If you heard Blake talk about it, looks like the off-season schedule is going to be changed starting next year, where it's going to be more like a pro off-season, where there'll be a certain amount of practices in the spring and then a certain amount of full pad practices in the summer. So we could be following this thing next year. You know, we may not be waiting for fall camp, and a good chance we're going to be following this thing practice through June and July.
Sounds good to me. We'll definitely we'll have to get Matt down here to hang out with us. Kenny Curlin says, if we have it close in the fourth quarter, the refs will give us the old Illinois-Tulsa screw job.
Potentially. I mean, if we have it close in the fourth quarter, get back to me then. But, I mean, we need a little bit of a go read that, Dave.
All right. Johnny says, what's up, JR? Hopefully we can get our technical difficulties straightened out for those who join us. So he and Justin are joining us via the chat. He says, we need to limit Bama's throws down the field. The Tide are 14-1 the last two seasons when they average 8 yards per pass, and they're 6-7 when they don't. 6-7 when they don't. ECU was 7-0 last year when teams threw for 7.5 yards per average or less. So that's Johnny, you're the best. That's why we call you Johnny Stats, baby.
And that's why, exactly. That's why he's Johnny Stats. That's good stuff right there from JR.
And that's why we need the soup du jour for the sack of the day. Well, we need to be able to get pressure on the quarterback to limit those throws downfield.
Yes, if he has all the time in the world. A. Wynn says, I wonder who officiates the game, not SEC, I hope, usually in contract, how that's decided.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows? Did Gilbert, you know, when he took the payday, ask for America? I'm gonna bet you it's gonna be SEC officials.
Kenny Curlin says every sports does that. He's talking about the scrimmage, the private scrimmages. So
football. Yeah, but it was not allowed in football until now, right, Kenny? And only for whatever reason, only FCS teams can do it, but they can schedule anybody they want, be it FBS under FCS or D2 or D3. I don't know why it's exclusive to FCS, but it gives FBS teams the opportunity to scrimmage against FCS.
And Awin says, no spring game, pig out at a baseball game, and do something football related.
Yeah, and that's not official yet, but it sounds like it's trending that way.
Yeah, I think they're pretty much passe now. Robert Dedrick says, cover 4.
I mean, to prevent big, deep passing plays, I guess is what he's saying. Matt, your thoughts on the cover 4?
I'm not sure if that's what Robert's saying, but I mean, look, I just think it's all about mixing up your coverages and, you know, and really trying to confuse the quarterback a little bit. But you have to mix it up. You have to show as many different looks as possible, or you're going to get exposed, especially against a team like this with that type of speed.
Yeah. Guys,
What we're going to do, guys. It's always this, and it's been this way since Blake Harrell. His main objective, and he always talks about this, is stop the run first. He wants to stop the run and get people behind the chains, you know, get people into 3rd and 7, 3rd and 8, right, where you can kind of get after the quarterback a little bit. And that's exactly what he's going to try and do in this game. I mean, he's going to try to stop the run first, limit the explosive plays. And, you know, the best chance you're going to have is if you can get Alabama in 3rd and medium, you know, 3rd and 5, 3rd and 6, and try to get off the field. Easier said than done.
No doubt. Justin said it will be SEC officials, which means, Matt, I'm feeling like there's going to be a lot of holding calls that day, a lot of false starts and holding. But
I'll tell you what, if we're in a position where the officiating matters, then we had a good game.
And Kenny says the OTAs is the way to go. I absolutely 100% agree. I think that's where the game should be headed, and it looks like it is. Matt says, allows the FCS to get a little payday, talking about the private scrimmages. They're not coming for free. That's fine.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. But I'm just curious why D2, D3 aren't allowed to do it. But
yeah, A-Win was saying, if we don't have a spring game, still have a rally event around baseball. Amen to that.
And, guys, I was going to bring up something here. Is we, you know, football related, but not directly to ECU, but college football. So besides ECU, Alabama, you got week zero and week one. What are some other games you guys are looking forward to early in the season?
I think the one that I'm looking forward to, guys, and I hate to mention the SEC game, but I think Matt and I agree on this guy. I am not a Lane Kiffin guy, and I'm just excited. Normally I won't be watching a lot of SEC games, but I can promise you early on, I think it's week three that LSU goes to Ole Miss. I don't know how you guys feel about it, but that
I was talking more week zero, week one, but if you want to jump all the way to week three.
I didn't realize. I thought you meant just early in the season, but that's the game. There's more games than that, but that's the game that early in the first quarter of the season, if you will, that game, I'm hoping that Ole Miss beats them like a drum. I hope he gets some
bad. LSU's got an interesting game. Clemson. They got Clemson week one, correct?
Yeah. They could be 1-2 easily.
Matt, what are you looking forward to week zero, week one?
Some of the ones I'm looking at here, it's Saturday, August 29th. I just pulled it up, and, you know, North Carolina at TCU. I hope TCU absolutely drills them. Yeah. I got to say, that North Carolina program, and I'm not just saying this because it's UNC, but that Bill Belichick has been a train wreck. Yeah. It almost just looks like he took that job to get one last paycheck. That program has been abysmal under Belichick. I don't know what's going on. I hope TCU absolutely destroys them. Right now it's TCU -7.5. I think they're going to win by a lot more than that. And then another interesting one on that, a little off the radar on the 29th. How about this? Memphis at UNLV.
Prime time on Fox. And I don't think that's off the radar at all. Both those teams receiving votes in the top 25. That's one that I'm really looking forward to watching. See what Charles Huff from Memphis is going to look like. That's a great week zero game. Another one for week zero for me.
6-point spread, Kyle, by the way. UNLV.
Six in favor of UNLV. Yeah, I take UNLV. Take UNLV in the six. Another one I'm looking forward to week zero is just a couple from just a interesting standpoint. North Dakota State makes their debut in the FBS, taking on Jacksonville State from Conference USA in the Fargo Dome week zero. That's interesting to me. Another one, Sacramento State makes their MAC debut. That's right. Sacramento State is a member of the MAC. Against Eastern Michigan, that one's interesting to me. And then you move in to week one. I've been so focused on East Carolina in the week zero schedule. Clemson LSU is a good one in week one. Ole Miss Louisville is another good one from week one. Tulsa, who the hell is Tulsa? Is it got Oklahoma State? Is that week one? I remember thinking there was somebody I thought Tulsa could upset in week one. Those are some that come to mind for me.
How about the North Carolina State?
North Carolina, Virginia, yeah.
That was supposed to be in Brazil when they moved it.
Yes.
That's one of the topics that I have for you guys, and we'll bring this up. Matt Rep, UNC TCU will be in Ireland.
Correct.
In Dublin. I do have a quick question, guys, for you. This was in my coming up in our roundtable, but while that was mentioned, if you could have any game outside the country, name where you would like it to be, what location, and what team you would like to play. So for me, I'm gonna go right now, guys. I would love to have like Notre Dame in Ireland, but probably more realistic, like something like wherever they play the Bahamas Bowl. Maybe we'd have a cool matchup with West Virginia or a team that I wish we could play again.
Let's get two of the best so-called group of six. Let's do like a Pac-12. So we'll say East Carolina. We'll say East Carolina, Boise State. Dublin, Ireland would be fun to me. I they're playing a lot of games in Ireland, so that would be fun. But the Nassau, Bahamas. But yeah, I think a Boise State type opponent would be a lot of fun. Two of the premier so-called group of six teams.
Kyle, you know, Look, we
have, look, there are the Antonio Roberts.
All right, so I jinxed you, man. So I guess See, I'm not echoing though. That's the thing.
No, you just made Matt echo. All right, JR, go ahead, man.
Here, I'll mute. JR, go ahead.
No, you're not echoing now, Matt. We may be good.
Oh, okay. Wow. A miracle. Right. Now, I was just, I mean, I hate to rewind, but I mean, that UNLV game against Memphis, you know, UNLV had a great quarterback in Calandria, and he transferred. And now, he went to Nebraska to replace Dylan Raiola, who went to Oregon to be a backup of all things. But now they have the kid Jackson Arnold, who was not on Different Strokes. I just want to throw that in there. He was not on Different Strokes.
What you Jackson about
is coming from Auburn, and he has really failed at Auburn, and he failed at Oklahoma the year before that. So, you know, if he can get himself together, maybe UNLV will be respectable. But I'm rooting for Memphis in that game because, you know, it's better for the conference. And I think Memphis has got a shot. So, and then they play Boise State. So, you know, maybe Memphis can be the savior for our conference. And then we beat Memphis and everything's right.
Yeah, Memphis has got so many new pieces. I will say this, Charles Huff. You know, if you look at year one in Marshall, he was able to get them going pretty fast. Last year at Southern Miss, he brought in a shitload of transfers, and they had their best season in a while. So he does have a history of doing well, of putting teams together fast early in the season. But, man, Memphis has got a bunch of new players. I don't know what UNLV has coming back. I know you talked about their quarterback situation, but a ton of new players in Memphis. But again, Huff has a history of doing that and turning it around fast.
Yeah. Do you remember at UNLV, that quarterback came from Rutgers, was doing very well, but then he wanted more money or he was going to. And then, you know, no one's ever heard from that guy again. But
yeah, the backup came in and just lit it up.
That's because Dan Mullen is a great quarterback coach. And so I think he might be able to do something with Jackson Arnold. But, you know, I don't
know.
Could
he do anything with Arnold Jackson?
He may. What you talking about, Kyle?
Yeah, you know, that's fantastic, Arnold Jackson. If somebody screws up names, that's a beautiful screw up.
Boy.
But, you know, any other, JR, you got any other games, week zero or week one, that come to mind for you?
I also wanted to comment on that FanDuel point spread. If they're saying 28.5, 54.5 for the over-under, that means they're pretty much predicting a score of 41 to 13 or 14. That's what they're looking at. But, you know, it could be worse because did you see the line with North Texas, who I think is going to take a big tumble this year, obviously, in the standings. I don't think they're going to be a top tier.
Indiana, what is the line?
Yeah. It's 41.
Good Lord.
How will Chasten Ditta be starting there? I haven't really looked.
Yeah,
at
they got Ditta, and then who else do they have? They brought in a transfer from somewhere. He's got some competition.
Yeah, Ditta,
I'm not sure.
Really...
I'm not sure that Ditta's the starter, and I'll tell you why. Because I have not researched North Texas yet because I don't consider them one of the top contenders. So I'm really in depth with the other teams, and with North Texas, I'll be working on them later this week.
Yeah,
so I'll report back to you on that.
They brought in a transfer from somewhere else, Matt, who had some starting experience. I don't know that Ditta won the job. One thing I hope is Ditta doesn't go down there and light it up. God almighty, that would irritate me.
Oh,
not that I don't want the kid to be unsuccessful, but it would just irritate the piss out of me.
Well, he really ran from competition here. I mean, as soon as he realized we were going to have some grad transfer quarterback coming in and some transfers, I mean, he ran from competition.
I wonder
so
if he felt
that's not a good sign for him.
I wonder if he felt disrespected after the bowl game performance. And yeah, I know what he did in the bowl game was mostly the deep, but he didn't lose the game for us. He did have the strip sack, but but overall, he played well in that game. He managed it.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
he did. But you know what? I don't even care when he said I'm leaving. I was like, okay, well, now we don't have to worry about that kid's attitude, you know, going forward because he clearly has an issue with his, you know, attitude. If it's not him, then he's leaving. And, you know, any quarterback or Matt, any player at any position that has faith in themselves, they'll welcome competition. But he didn't want to do that. So good riddance.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how things shake out with him down there. That's a tough opener, though, man, against Indiana. Whew.
Yeah, no, that is.
That is a tough opener.
Hey, I had another question, Matt, about, you know, since camp just opened, and Kyle, I did exactly what I promised I would do. I brought the weather with me, and I apologize for that.
You're an ass.
Oh, man, has it been hot and humid. I was out there, and, you know, I know that when they're starting camp, it's just the humidity and the heat was crazy. And even early in the morning, what are your memories of reporting to East Carolina from New Jersey and dealing with that? Was it tough to get used to, or did you know what you were kind of getting yourself into? I'm just curious how that happened.
I had no idea what I was getting myself into. And I'm being dead serious. I had no idea. I've said this all the time. You guys have heard me say it. I don't think there's any heat like an Eastern North Carolina heat and humidity. It is unbelievable. I've been to a lot of places. Something about Eastern North Carolina in August, man, it is just hot and humid, and it takes some getting used to. So it was for a Northern kid, it gets hot in New Jersey too in the summer, but like it's a different world. So yeah, it takes getting used to it. And to your point, and JR, that's why, if you remember a few weeks ago, we were talking about, I was saying, I hope we get an early start against App, and I hope it's a hot day.
That's noon.
I think we're a little bit better prepared to handle that type of heat than App is coming down, as Kyle would say, coming down off the mountain.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, for somebody who, you know, goes to the area quite a bit, you know, I can tell you right now that here, I'm going to check the temperature in Boone right now. And, you know, I know what it is here. I just came in before the show from walking 2 miles. It is currently 66 degrees in Boone and 81 in Greenville. So there you go. So there you go.
Yeah, that's huge. That is a huge difference. So we're going to train in it. We're going to work in that heat. We're going to be ready to go. It could definitely affect an opponent early in the season.
Yeah, and you know, I think, you know, not that it's going to be a determining factor in the game against Bama, but I think practicing in this heat and humidity is something you want to do to be in good condition when you're going down to Bama for an 11 a.m. kickoff. And then, you know, you got App the next week at 12 noon. Again, practices heat and humidity, having to play Bama early in the day like that, I think it only helps us against the App week two. That is one thing that I do think will be an advantage. Now, part of me hopes it ain't 90 degrees because I'm going to have to sit out there in it too. But whatever it takes to win the game.
Kyle, did I just hear club level?
No, you did not, even at 90 degrees. Jessica might go up there because she's a big baby when it comes to the heat. But I as long as I'm hydrated, I'll make it. So no club level for me. I like to be outside amongst the people. You know, it doesn't. I know you like going in the club level, Matt. You know, I don't get it. But you know, you don't seem like
you
a food kind of guy.
That's what I like. That's what I love about it. You go outside. You go inside when you get your drink.
Yeah.
You know, you go. Right,
you just want access to. You just want access to something besides beer.
Say again.
You want access to something besides beer. You want to be able to get some mixed drinks. That's the main reason you want club level.
Exactly.
Just sneak a couple of airplane bottles of rum in with you.
Good idea.
I mean, I know you wear cowboy boots, right? Just stick them in your cowboy boots.
There you go.
Hey, Kyle, hey. I wasn't going to go here, but due to, you know, last week's show, I got a few comments like,
sure,
dude, I've seen you at football games. You don't drink when you, and I was like, yeah, I don't. And I really do not. I was talking about Matt. I don't know if you were listening or not, but I was talking about sneaking bourbon into Alabama games and mm-hmm. games in the past. But honestly, when I go to ECU games, I want to remember what I'm watching and I want to look at what I'm watching. I don't do the no bourbon when the Pirates are playing. I just want to make that point.
Yeah, I don't drink at games either. It's weird. I know so many people do, and more power to them. And I will. Believe me, I'll drink after the game, but before the game, yeah, I don't even tailgate very much. You know, the last time I tailgated was Matt in 22. So there you go. I just don't tailgate. To me, it's like going to work. It's I'm there to watch a football game. I'm locked in, laser focused.
Yeah, especially in that heat too. Like, there's no chance I'll be drinking at that Alabama game. It's going to be it's early. It's going to be hot as hell. No chance.
Have you figured out what home game you're coming to this year? Are you making it to one?
I'll definitely be at one. I haven't figured out which one yet. I do love your idea.
Dude, Temple, Halloween, Temple. Man.
I love your idea about that. By the way, the graphics you made, too, today.
Thank you. I'm not going to put those out yet, but, you know, they will be put out later, and I appreciate that. But, yeah, I would come to the Temple game. JR agrees. I mean, unless we're having a disappointing season, first home game on a Saturday on Halloween since 1998. It's been almost 30 years. It's a rare occurrence. It's the Pirates and the Owls, even appropriate mascots for Halloween. Should be a lot of fun. Greenville's a great city for Halloween. About the only thing that would ruin it would be a 12 o'clock kickoff. You give us a late afternoon, early evening kick. I think it'd be a lot of fun. You're going to have people dressed up. I'm going to dress up as something. Jessica's going to dress up. JR, are you dressing up?
No, but I will be enjoying everybody else that chooses to do that.
I thought you told me the other day that you were going to dress up.
No, I'm not a dress-up guy. I mean, I don't even dress up for Halloween, but I know it's a special occasion. If there's something that I could throw together that's not going to take a lot of effort, I consider it.
I got a couple of costumes in mind for me. I'll let you know which one I decide to go with. Matt, are you going to dress up if you come?
It's possible. I mean, it's possible. I haven't dressed up in a long time, but you never know.
All right.
We'll see. I'm not opposed to it.
All right.
But one thing I like, too, about the schedule this year is that we play at Army in October, which...
That's in November.
I'm sorry. What is wrong with me tonight? In November. It's been a long weekend. I've been trying.
Man, I was thinking about it today. I was wishing that was in October because... I'd love to visit Sleepy Hollow, and that's about 35 miles from West Point. So that would be a cool October trip to do at some point, but it is in November.
Yeah. So beautiful. I mean, October is definitely the best time, like late October, to be in that West Point, New York area. But that'll be cool. It's always nice to get a Pirate game up north.
You know, one thing I don't like about the schedule, and this includes the Army game, is we're one of the few teams that we have to play two teams that are coming off of a bye. Army and Temple will both be coming off of byes when we play them. And Tulsa, interesting, you know, they don't have any opponent that's coming off of a bye. I don't know how that worked out, but that's not the greatest. Obviously, we have a bye before we play Rice. But that's, you know, coming off of the home game and then playing another home game. That doesn't really help.
I like having the bye before Rice because it's an option.
It's early, though. It's week five.
It's an option team. I do like that.
That doesn't really intimidate me like it used to. Look what we did to Army last year.
I know.
And we're not playing Navy. That would add a little bit of stress to the situation. But, you know, Rice is certainly – they are an option team, obviously, but they're not there yet. They're not in that, you know, realm.
They were good at times last year. I think they could be a very competitive team this year. I think they could be very improved. So I like the off. I do think I hate that you got, you know, 7-8 home straight games after that. But I don't mind it before Rice. I'm like you. I don't like Temple coming off a bye week and Army coming off a bye week. We do get Temple at home. And we'll have – here's the good thing about that one, JR. We won't have a bye week, but we will have extra time to prepare because we play
Thursday.
Yeah. So that equals it out a little bit. But
yeah.
And we get them at home. And it'll be Halloween. And that's going to be a freaking awesome atmosphere. We better win that freaking game.
And by the way, I know they have it announced. I'm hoping that's going to be a night game, but –
you know, I don't necessarily want it to be night-night.
4 o'clock. Perfect.
3 or 4 o'clock kickoff, I'm with you, yes. Because if it's a night game, you're going to have students there for about a quarter, then leaving to go downtown. So a 3 or 4 o'clock kickoff would be perfect.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, the atmosphere. I love what, I don't know if y'all saw this, but Bubba says Kyle is dressing up as Jeff Confer. So.
Oh, that's low.
How would you dress up as Jeff Confer? You have to get an AI mask. I gotta make a mask. I don't know. I just kind of walk around and talk like an idiot.
Awin says, looking at the Army game, stay in New York City and Absolutely. Take the Ferry A win and go. Let me just go ahead and tell you right now, if you're going to take the boat, you're going to take the ferry, go ahead and don't wait like me, like a dummy. I waited to the last minute and it was already sold out. Go ahead and do that.
I had to swim the Hudson over there.
Yeah, I did. No, it was worse. Hey, Matt, literally I had to hold my, there were so many people on that train, that commuter train to like to upstate New York to Poughkeepsie. I had to hold my, literally like this, I had to hold my elbows for all that time and for like a couple hours. Then I had to take an Uber. So if you don't get, you don't like boats or you do like me and you wait too long, you can take a I think it's a, is it a Long Island rail? I think it might be that one. But anyway.
Or a Long Island Expressway. That's because I've heard of that.
And you take that and then you, you take that and then you take
the road. Never mind.
Yeah, Poughkeepsie. And then I had to take an Uber from Poughkeepsie to West Point. That cost me $20 each way, but it can be done.
I think anyway, you took the Metro.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I'm on Metro again.
Well, guys, with the return of the Echoes here, I'm going to dress up like a 1987 ECU football player. Of course. Okay. All right.
Oh, Justin's going to dress up as Scotty Moe.
You know what? That would be easy to do. Now, obviously, one point of that costume you couldn't do because you can't do that no more. But the just wear a shirt and tie with a three-quarter zip jacket and a visor.
Yeah, that's what. Bubba says you have the voice now. Oh, he's
talking about Confer. I haven't done it in a while, Bubba, but. I'll see if I can do it, and I'm halfway getting a cold, but Bubba, thank you very much for that compliment. I haven't done this voice in a while, just like I haven't done Shelly in a while. Hey-o.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my goodness. This is, oh. Yeah. Justin said I could have saved the money and rode with, and the QA. Well, yeah, I know that. The QA3, now the QA4. My question is, how many people can you get in that rig? Because it'll be a lot of fun to have the Sports Objective crew in there, and we're just like, you know, doing like a road trip and having fun.
Yeah, I think we should get invitations, Justin. I'm not going to ask again, but I'll accept any invitations to ride in the QA3. I'm sure Dave would as well.
I want to know how many times riding in the QA3, if we can ever go an episode without that being brought up. That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
Does
we just wait for invites.
Does it have a cab with back seats?
It probably has a sleeper, Matt. It probably is a cab with a sleeper. I know, Matt, being a northerner, you don't know much about big rigs. But, yeah, most of them are two seats in the front and then a sleeper cab in back.
I can't disagree with that.
I don't know about rigs.
Yeah. Except for this echo.
Matt says nobody has the swag to pull off a Scotty Moe.
I thought about being roughing, but then I was like, how the hell would I be roughing? I mean, I'm a fat guy losing weight, so I got that in common with rough. But if I just wore a purple like polo and a pair of khakis and a hat and just touched my heart and pointed, I guess I could put like sweat stains on because you know he sweated a lot. I love to rough. I'm just trying to figure out how in the world I would be rough.
Justin said the ride back from Philly last year was pretty good.
Actually, my costume choices right now, guys, tell me what you think. I'm thinking about either being a killer scarecrow or either Hurricane Jason, where I dress up in a Jason hockey mask, like blood and stuff, and wearing a Carolina Hurricanes jersey.
I like that.
Hey, Kyle, I did the scarecrow thing. Got some gloves and hot glue gun and glued some straw to the gloves, put the gloves on, and then got like a burlap sack and cut the eyes out. And then put straw like on a flannel shirt, and it turned out really well. But
doing that almost the exact same thing, except wearing like a pumpkin mask instead of doing the burlap sack.
Okay, well, that would work too.
Yep. Is it October now? Oh, sorry.
We're preparing. We're excited about having a game on Halloween. Yeah, I think that's right. I was like, wait a minute, not Halloween. Thanksgiving, yeah, Halloween.
I think that they should do like you said this, Kyle, earlier. I loved your idea. I think it was a week or two ago. We need to have a massive Halloween
contest. Yeah, have a Halloween costume contest for the students and maybe for everybody. and then also do trunk or treat for the kids on the tailgate lots. I mean, this is simple stuff, and I'm sure that'll be done. If you got a Halloween game and you don't do those two things, it's just idiotic.
Not only that, but think about that. You could have like some gimmick, like the world's largest Halloween costume. We're going for
you could do that. You could have ask everybody to dress up like a pirate. There's several different things you could do.
Yeah. Matt, are you going to come down? That would be an awesome game for you to come down to.
We talked about that earlier. That's how we got on this, Dave.
Oh, okay. I missed.
Hoping to.
And bring Chase, man. Chase.
Oh, yeah.
Turn him loose in downtown Greenville on Halloween night. Matt, it would give you an excuse. I got to go watch Chase. It would give you an excuse to go downtown as a grown adult man on Halloween night and just observe.
Let me tell you something. Chase had the greatest time at the Memphis game last year.
He had a blast.
He was hard talk. He was on the field.
Can you guys hear the talk, though?
Yeah, don't worry about it. Just keep talking.
Yeah.
It's driving me nuts.
Justin's got you sweet tickets.
Thank you, Justin. Appreciate you, brother.
There you go. Come on down. Yeah, that's going to be one of the big – in fact, that might be – one of the biggest conference games we have all year.
It could be. I think Symbol's going to be better than most people think. You know, at that point in the season, unless something unforeseen happens, I would think at most we would have is one conference loss. You know, you figure, I think Rice is going to be improved, but it's at home, you should beat them. You should beat UAB on the road. And then the only one that we may lose, you know, who knows what, anything can happen, at Memphis. So at most, I think we would have one of the conference loss. So, and I'd have to look at Temple's schedule, but I do think Temple's going to be very improved. So I think it's going to be a very big game. And I know we got a lot of games before that. I think a lot of people are ridiculously fired up about there being a game on Halloween. It's just something fun about it.
Oh, yeah. Temple also, you know, they were 6.5-point underdogs against UTSA last year and beat them, you know, 27-21. They played really well. That game wasn't even as close as that score. So Temple could put it together. Like, they're definitely, when all things are clicking, you got to be prepared.
And we broke them last year, JR, and that's something they're going to remember. They were playing well up until that game, and then
exactly,
we kind of exposed them.
And they got better.
Yep.
Yeah.
We exposed them, and so I'm sure they're going to have that one circled. But a lot of games before that. I got you know, Alabama's obviously circled. I got App State circled. So this is a tough schedule, non-conference. Alabama's, of course, Alabama. App State beat us three times in a row. In-state rival. ODU won 10 games last year. North Carolina Central has won more games over the last few years than any other FCS team in this state. So even North Carolina Central ain't what they used to be. They've improved a lot over the years. So it's not an easy non-conference schedule. I think a lot of people look after Alabama. You know, I'm sure, you know, everybody knows we've lost 3 in a row to App. But I think a lot of people, the casuals, I mean, not the people watching the show, don't realize how damn good ODU is. They won 10 games last year, beat Virginia Tech and South Florida.
Yeah, I think, you know, we need to get a big crowd to that game for sure. I'll definitely be going. I'm not going to North Carolina Central. I'm going to go to ODU instead. Because I feel like that's a game. We got to win that game, and it's not going to be easy for sure.
I will definitely be at North Carolina Central unless something unforeseen happens, but I am definitely considering going to ODU. Might just do a day trip, go up to the game, come back. You know, I thought about staying in Virginia Beach, but it's certainly, what is it? It's 2 hours to Norfolk, so easy day trip.
Yeah, easy. Yeah, that one's an easy one, and a lot of game. The Charlotte game is going to be another one that Matt's second favorite team. for those that don't know, that's a running joke we've had for several years because Matt does not like Charlotte.
Hate them.
Yeah, exactly. So, and I'll tell you one thing. I think we'll play a lot better than we did 2 years ago. The only thing about the trip that I had that was terrible was the game. Everything else was really good. To ride the train. By the way, if you get a chance and you're in the Triangle area or you can get to Raleigh, it was only $53 round trip for the train, and it was a great experience.
Round trip? $53?
Yes, sir.
From Raleigh to Charlotte. Wow. Or you can just stay in your vehicle and continue to drive to Charlotte.
Well, it was no traffic to worry about, any of that stuff, and right there it was a great experience. So
We were leaving Turnpike Troubadours in Charlotte a few weeks ago, and Jessica's not overly familiar with Charlotte, and I'm not either. But she missed her exit, and we ended up like in the middle of downtown. But no traffic, thankfully, in downtown at 11 o'clock at night, so it was easy to get back on the right track.
Yeah, it's going to be a great. I feel good about the. I like the schedule. I'll take the tough games, and I think that prepares us for the conference. And I think we have the dudes to match up with the schedule.
Yeah, I enjoy not the Alabamas, but I enjoy the App State ODU games. I like the, you know, I would, if I had my druthers, have one more easy one. I would prefer, you know, maybe I would. I don't know that I would want to. Let's say if I had a magic wand where I could wave, I would replace Alabama with a you know, a I don't know, hell,
Washington State
or a Rutgers. Not easy, but a win that, you know, and then so you have one game that's kind of equal to App or ODU, and then I would replace, say, ODU with Delaware. You know, I like two easy games, one hard game, and then one in between game. I don't like the Alabama games. That's to me, it's the percentage of winning that game is so low. Whereas the next year, Northwestern, Wake Forest, I feel like we can win both those games.
Yeah, I like the national exposure. You know, I know ABC doesn't have the clout that it used to, like you've already mentioned, Kyle. But it's just great to be in week one, to be kicking off a college football Saturday in week one with the
Pirates. It only matters if you win or play very well. I mean, national exposure ain't worth a damn if you lose 42-3.
So it
only matters if you play well. But
we will.
I agree that, you know, it doesn't hurt for sure.
Bubba makes the point. Three of the five wins versus ODU have been come down to the wire 2019-24. That is true. Nobody's taking them for granted, but I do believe that I do believe we have more talent than ODU.
We do, but it'll be a challenge.
Right. Matt.
Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah. Perfect. And now that you're back and your echo's gone, JR's echo's returned.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It was all working before I checked in. Thank you all for
No, it's not Dave.
Letting me back in. But
JR, I'll hop out. You can finish off so you can talk.
No, man.
You know what? Guys, JR, just stay there. And Matt, you stay there, and JR, just keep your answers short, and we've been going for an hour and a half, and why don't we just give our final thoughts for the episode and wrap it up?
I have one thought I wanted to make, that this is just a prediction for this season, as I was kind of like reading through Phil Steele. You guys, take a quick look, and this is certainly, you know, I think a lot of people are high on Notre Dame this year, but if you look at their schedule, I don't think they're going to lose a game in a regular season. The biggest test they have is they're going to host Miami sometime around like week 8 or 9. Other than that, Notre Dame could quite possibly run the table this year.
Notre Dame always has a WTF game though, Matt.
They do. Remember Northern Illinois?
Also one year.
But I'm just telling you, I think Marcus Freeman has it going there. I think they've recruited really well. They have a really good quarterback back. That team is loaded. I just don't see them losing a game. I think Miami is going to be a tough test, but they get them at home in South Bend. So just put that – that's just a prediction for this year. Notre Dame will run the table. Don't know what they'll do in the playoff, but they will go undefeated in the regular season.
All right. Matt predicting Notre Dame to go undefeated regular season. I really don't have any final thoughts except looking forward to – practice reports this week. Looking forward to hopefully the ruling coming tomorrow. Hopefully NCAA gets what they want in terms of the ruling being expedited, but not the decision. And we find out we're going to get Lampley, Gunn, and Danka back. So looking forward to hearing all that this coming week. And unfortunately, I will not be in Washington for the Cubs National Series. Dave will be enjoying that without me. He can kiss my ass. My Cubbies are playing good baseball. The only way they're going to catch the Brewers is beating them head-to-head. They got 7 games up against the Brewers, and so they're going to have to beat them head-to-head. But they're definitely going to, you know, they'll be one of the wild card teams. They're one of the best teams in baseball. The Brewers are just so freaking good. So, Dave, enjoy watching my Cubbies beat your Nationals. That's all I got, guys.
Well, I was going to say that there was a movie from 1939, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, Mr. Richmond's Going to Washington. I was going to talk about the fact that I'm going to lobby for the College Sports Protection Act. Not really, but if you want to believe that, I will definitely tell anybody that wants to hear my opinion that they need to go ahead and pass it, or we're taking away their salaries, their pensions, their insurance until they pass the damn thing, because it has the sad thing about it as far as sports goes. Well, I should say national topics go. It has the most bipartisan support. It should be other things, but I'm glad that it does have bipartisan support, and I hope they will get their act together. Unfortunately, guys, I believe we're in the recess now. As of today, I think off the top of my head, it's coming up in the next, if it's not today, maybe tomorrow. But
when I grow up, I want to be a congressman. I'll tell you that. These guys can do whatever they want. They can do insider trading with no consequences whatsoever. They can do any. They can take a vacation in August for a month, go on recess. I mean, it is a complete joke. Not to get in the box, but like, look, if there was ever a issue that should be bipartisan, it's this. Exactly. Pass the Save College Sports Act. Get it done. Like, do something. Do something right in Congress. Get it done. Way, that's it. That's all I want to say. And I'm not getting into politics, but this is something.
We need 60 votes. 60 votes. Come on. 60.
Get it done.
We don't
get
need it.
I think we can all agree on that. JR, did you have any other things
I wish both parties would not put any add-ons in the bill.
Thank you.
You know, just leave it as it is. Matt, that didn't help any. Anyhow, I'm going to cut it short.
All right.
But yeah, I wish it would have just been left to
Amen, brother. Amen.
But there was something about, anyway, somehow Matt is easier to understand with an echo than JR. I don't know why that is.
I don't know. It was a struggle today. Hopefully next week will be better.
Johnny, hopefully I get to see you on Wednesday. We'll see on Wednesday evening. We'll see how that.
I got to forward those tickets to you, Dave.
Yeah. And,
Matt, pop back up. What are you guys doing Wednesday?
There's a Cubs game.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Who are you rooting for, Dave?
He's a Nats fan.
I am actually a Nationals fan. Mackenzie is a. Alex and I are Nationals fans, and Mackenzie is a Braves fan. So,
good for Mackenzie.
Well, yeah. you tell Mackenzie that there's a player for the Cubs named the best damn player potentially in the National League could be NL MVP. Plays for my Cubbies. I love him, and I just forgot his name. Jesus Christ, help me out, guys.
Pete Crow Armstrong,
PCA. Okay. You tell Mackenzie to watch PCA. She's going to be watching a future Hall of Famer out there on the field.
That's cool. And Logan says, go Braves. There you go. All right.
Yeah, definitely.
Y'all's Braves.
I'm wearing my Braves. I'll be wearing my Braves and rooting for the Cubs. Although the Cubs are someone that we got to worry about.
There, are you going?
I could. If you're not going, there is an extra ticket, but I think I'm going to be too busy.
Gotcha. Well, you said you're going to be wearing your Cubs hat, so.
I said if I go, I will be wearing my Braves hat.
Oh, I thought you said if you go, you're going to wear your Cubs hat.
I don't have a Cubs hat.
Well, you're kind of hard to understand right now, JR. But I'll send you a Cubs hat.
I'll pass.
Oh, come on, man. It'll look good on you.
we'll definitely keep in touch with you, Kyle, there during the game. We'll send you videos and stuff, and we'll have a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, no, you won't, because you're going to be crying. The Cubs will be up 10-2. The Nats have a good offense. Their pitching ain't worth a shit, but they have a good offense. So
we'll see how. Yeah,
Cubs bolstered their pitching staff. I do think the Nats have a couple guys injured right now. So Cubs need to sweep that one, or at least take two out of three.
Well, hopefully they win Wednesday night, that being the Nats, not the Cubs, but we'll see. I don't have anything against the Cubs. I just want to win the game. So anyway. All right, guys, we'll get out of here. Thank you so much to everybody. Thank you, Matt, and sorry, Alan and Justin.
Stevie.
Yeah, thank you, Stevie. Sorry, guys. I've sent an email, and I'm going to follow up and make sure we find out what the heck is going on, because we're paying the bill, and when we're paying a lot of money for something, then we should be able to get my guys on. So, all right, have a great week. Don't forget, we have fall camp going on, and we'll be posting any kind of press conference. Make sure you follow and like our social media so you can see all those great things on YouTube and Facebook. In the meantime, we'll get out of here. As always, if it's Sunday night, it's TSO, and go Pirates.
You're watching The Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates.